Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Just before we get into the episode, I'd like to state that this was recorded on the 1st of October before we saw Ross Barkley score a goal against Liverpool and perform very well alongside Jack Grealish and company. This episode was set to be a little bit of a look at what we can expect from Ross Barkley, but I think we all know a little bit more about the player now we've seen him play. However, we've spoken to David Hughes, our scouting writer here at Reach PLC, and he's also a big Everton fan. So I'll hand you over to James and David and I'll let them crack on with the rest of the episode. You are listening to AVFC Extra. A no-nonsense look at the club we all love. Brought to you by the Claret and Blue podcast.
Hello and welcome to AVFC Extra, a little extra dose of Aston Villa into your weekly routine. I hope you enjoyed our last episode, by the way. It was a quick look at scouting abbreviations, but here we are with the full fat thing. Aston Villa have signed Ross Barkley. It was a bit of a surprise, but he joins the club on a season-long loan. That leaves plenty of questions to answer. I'm James Rushton. Today, I'm joined by Reach PLC scouting writer David Hughes to speak about Ross Barkley at length. So, David, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks, James. How are you, mate?
I'm buzzing, man. I didn't expect Villa to be signing someone like Ross Barkley. And yeah, I say someone like Ross Barkley. You're going to tell us what Ross Barkley we've signed. David, you're an Everton fan, right? You've got a lot to say about this guy.
Yeah. So we, at Everton, I should say, we loved Ross Barkley. You know, he kind of exploded onto the scene. And for a couple of seasons, at least, he was an integral player, really, to Everton and what he was trying to achieve at the time. He left under a little bit of a cloud, shall we say, which soured the relationship a little bit. I think, certainly from an Evertonian's point of view, I think, you know, Ross himself tries to maintain this kind of love for Everton, and he still talks highly of them, still talks as if he's a big Everton fan, but yeah, certainly with the Evertonians, I think the way he left kind of soured the relationship somewhat.
So I think what we need to hear is what type of player was he at Everton? Because there's a good comparison to Jack Grealish, actually. Mm. By the age of 24, Ross Barkley had appeared 152 times in the Premier League, scoring 21 goals. And I know that he came through at a time, but it's almost like that time didn't exist anymore with the product the Premier League is now. But Grealish has only got, and I know Villa weren't in the Premier League for a decent span of time, Grealish has only 72 appearances, 10 goals. So this guy was performing highly at the highest level for Everton, really, wasn't he?
Yeah, look, he was a really exciting player. I can't really emphasise that enough. At the time he was coming through, He was already known to Evertonians before he'd made his debut, because there was a lot of talk about a young local lad coming through and doing impressive stuff. You know, so in fact, if I remember correctly, Tim Cahill, who was obviously a huge player for Everton, he said Barkley was arguably the most talented player he'd ever worked with. Certainly at the time, he said that, and he hasn't played at much bigger clubs since. So, you know, that's a testament to the ability he had. He made his debut in a bit of a naff defeat at home to QPR back in 2011, which is a long time ago now. He must only be maybe 16, 17, but he got man of the match for that game. Then there was loan spells to Leeds, Sheffield Wednesday, where he didn't really pull up any trees. Well, it didn't really play, if we're being totally honest. But then he came back 2013-14 season, started in Everton's opener against Norwich and scored a fantastic goal with his weaker foot from outside the box in a 2-2 draw. And yeah, for that campaign where Everton were on fire, they just missed out on Champions League under Roberto Martinez. He was just such an important player to the side.
So we've got to discuss his exit then, I guess, because he moved to Chelsea, and I guess the career progression there is Everton, Chelsea, and onwards, and that's not really what. No disrespect to Villa, of course. If
I was just about to say, this is a Villa pod, isn't it? Let's put them in the sky. But
this move came about. We'll go into that first. What happened there?
Yeah, so it was a very strange one. So at the last season of Martinez, where things really fell apart for Everton. I think he finished 11th in the table. They had a good, I mean, ironically, looking back, it wasn't too bad. They finished 11th. They got to the semi-final League Cup, semi-final the FA Cup, and had a good run in the Europa League. So they were very much a cup side that year, but obviously Everton have bigger ambitions to be pushing up, you know, towards the top end of the Premier League. And it went a little bit sour with Martinez, but even despite the fact that they finished 11th in that year, Barkley playing as an attacking midfielder, he got 11 goals and 11 assists, which is, you know, an impressive output, really, for any midfielder. And then Ronald Koeman come in the following campaign, and Barkley was kind of a big player under Koeman, but there was rumours of a bit of a rift between the two that seemed to go on for a little while. And then it seemed like that was kind of something that loomed over Barkley and talk of him potentially wanting to leave. He got injured that summer following another decent campaign, I might add. He scored 6 goals and assisted a further 7. So, you know, he's definitely a player who produces output from midfield. Yeah, he picked up an injury that summer. And then there was this talk of Chelsea wanting to go to Chelsea. He had a medical. Chelsea, he may have even passed the medical, but for whatever reason, the move fell through. And we've kind of joined the dots and assumed that the club said to him, look, you're injured, go back to Everton for 3 months and we'll come back into you, come back in for you in January. That's what he did. Kept all very hush-hush, though. So come back, you basically did his recovery with Everton, and then left in that January for 15 million less than what he would have left for in the summer. So just kind of felt like he'd, you know, for his boyhood club, as he calls it, you know, it felt like he pulled a bit of a dirty trick on them, and it's something Evertonians haven't really forgiven them for.
Was, if I remember correctly, wasn't the mayor of Liverpool, like, didn't kick off about this? What did what happen?
Sadly, then? He did, yeah. You know, we've tried to forget about that one. Yeah, Joe Anderson, you know, I'm sure there was a reference to calling the police or something, which, you know, as we talk now, my toes are curling. But, yeah, it was a bad one. It was a very sour end, so what, it didn't have to be that. And one thing I will say is, I do like Barkley, and we're going to talk about, you know, specifics shortly about how good of a player he is and what he's going to do, bring to Villa. But it did almost feel that the move was a little bit premature in terms of his career path, because although I was talking about the decent output he'd had, how good he was for Everton, there was still a lot of negatives to his game, a lot of things that he needed coaching out of him. And of course, he's then traded Everton, where he'd be playing week in, week out, to go to a super club, really, Chelsea, who were competing Champions League every year. And it's not really a surprise that he has he struggled a little bit for regular game time.
Yeah, I think the best way to kind of talk about that this time at Chelsea then is not in terms of like the move or the fee or even his role. It's minutes, like just pure match minutes in the Premier League. 6 seasons at Everton, 77% of their Premier League minutes he played in. 4 seasons at Chelsea, and I know there's been injuries and stuff that's happened here and there. 24% of available match time, which when you lie out like that, that's a drop. You know, you'd expect even as a bit part player, 40%, 50%. To drop that far is it's quite stunning. And, you know, for a player, he's quite obvious quality as well. For the start, 100 and over 100, even 120 at Everton, maybe 28 at Chelsea in 4 seasons, which is, I mean, he has played in the Champions League here and there in the Europa League, but in the Premier League, you know, the bread and butter, he hasn't been available at Chelsea at all. So is there any background on that, whether his role's changed and he's just not fitting in there anymore?
I think it's tough. It's, you know, as I've just said, you're going to a top side, and Chelsea's always a turbulent environment, isn't it? But he hasn't really found a spot in the team. You've just alluded to it there. He's played less than 1,400 league minutes in each campaign, like full campaign he's been there. And I think the issue is there's probably just a little bit too much competition in that midfield. If you look at it since Maurizio Sarri's been there, obviously he brought Jorginho with him. Jorginho is such a kind of unique profile. He almost has to play in that number 6 role to impact the game. So if you're thinking of a 3-man midfield like Chelsea seem to play, you've got Jorginho, who takes the number 6. So then he's Barkley's battling for one of the two number eight places. We've got N'Golo Kanté in the side, who's still considered one of the best midfielders in the world. So he's getting pushed into one of those number eights. So then you've got Barkley really competing with the other midfielders in the team to kind of get in that side. And if you think who've you got in there, you've got like Kovacic, for example, who I think is a great midfielder. You know, you're trying to get Barkley in that side over these top players. And I just don't think he's done enough when he has played to persuade the different managers he has had that he should be in the team.
So there's massive competition. When you put it all like that, there's just massive competition, isn't there? Like there could be, if just making it up, there could be like an 18-year-old that comes up and bosses the world, moves to Chelsea, and then how do you fit in any pre-existing player? They just get kind of pushed aside. I mean, situation might be similar at Liverpool and even Everton with James Rodriguez joining. Like you have to make these signings when they're available. And that situation is obviously now at Villa with Conor Hourihan now, kind of who has had a good start to the season, being kind of pushed aside. It's bringing a quality player like Ross Barkley, so it is odd. I wanted to go into his position actually, because it seemed like he'd have more license to be advanced at Everton, maybe as a number 10 or whatever. But at Chelsea, it looks like that may have forced his career to develop in a certain different way, just to fit in that team. And he's not even there anymore.
Yeah, well, that's it. So, I mean, one thing you will say, he's a versatile player. You know, he can play different roles within the midfield, but predominantly at Everton, he was. In those kind of years that I touched on earlier, he's an attacking midfielder, you know, a kind of somewhere in between the line, bit of a number 10 type, someone who can influence the play in the final third, I guess. Chelsea don't really play with a number 10, at least they mostly haven't. And this is kind of why I was saying that the move didn't make sense. I think he was ill-advised because at Everton, you know, there's a good chance they would have built the team around him. I know Everton's been a bit of a turbulent place, to say the least, before Ancelotti come in. But, you know, he could probably play five games, not have a great game in either, and still be in the side. Whereas you go to Chelsea and there is that competition, there's already not really a natural fit or spot for you in the team. So you're having to come on with 20 minutes to go and impact the game, or you've got one start and you have to hit the ground running. Otherwise, you know, you're not going to maintain a spot in the team. And that's that, you know, when you kind of lay it out like that, it's quite easy to see why he's probably struggled to succeed at Chelsea so far.
Yeah, it almost seems like an admin issue more than anything else. It's like squad build. So people do look at it like, almost like in terms of like a video game, like if you're not being selected, it's an absolute failure, and there could be myriad reasons why you're not being picked, and it could just be down to the constant nature of transfers. I know Chelsea's a weird example because I know they couldn't make any signings last season for a big part of it, bar Pulisic who came in, but that was pre-agreed. Stuff like that kind of, it's just the way the cookie crumbles, I guess, in terms of that move to Chelsea, and I guess this is the end of it now. But unless there's a mega season at Villa, he moves elsewhere. But this looks like the end of it at Chelsea.
Yeah, potentially. You know, I think even if he has a great season at Villa, I think it's going to be hard. I noticed when he joined Villa, he was talking about potentially kind of getting regular game time and getting back in the England setup. But I just think he's gonna struggle even if he really does well at Villa. I just can't see him getting back to Chelsea and even back to England, because, you know, look how hard Grealish has had to work to get in that England squad. You know, he's been phenomenal for a long time. He's a fantastic player. And it was only the last set of international fixtures with somebody else dropping out injured. Was that right?
Yeah, I think even with Foden and Greenwood and them getting kind of disciplined, it's like it happened as like almost like an admin error again. Like these things just seem to have to fall in place, or they just don't at all. So with Ross Barkley, he's not even in this current England squad, and that's obviously for a good reason. But it seems like you're saying, it's, you could do everything right and it just not work out for you. But that doesn't really necessarily affect Aston Villa, does it? Because he could have, like Grealish, a fantastic season.
Yeah, look, Villa, you know, Villa have the potential to be the winners in this situation, because as you said, you know, it was a tough first campaign back in the Premier League last season. There was obviously areas that they needed to strengthen. And you look at the window now with obviously Martinez who come in, Traore's come in, then Watkins as well. If you put Barkley in that group now, you think that's been a really good window so far. You know, there's definitely the side has definitely been strengthened. And I do think that Barkley has the potential to bring some really good things to the Villa squad this season, or Villa side.
So diving into the player a little deeply then, I think one thing that always comes up when people are speaking about Ross Barkley is physicality, which isn't, it's never a trait I assign to a number 10, but as he says, box to box, number 8 now, that's a perfect trait for him at Villa, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, he is. He's had that really from a young age. Maybe that's why he was so quick to kind of hit Premier League levels, because he is strong. He's difficult to dislodge off the ball. You know, he's got decent pace as well. Carries the ball well. I think that's one of his best things. He's very penetrative with the ball. We talked about Grealish earlier. I think Grealish does that very well at Villa, and I think that's one of Barkley's strong points as well. He gets you up the pitch. And, you know, if you're the team who, I mean, we don't know how good Villa are going to be this year, how they're going to necessarily play in each game. But if you think if you're going to be penned in a little bit at times, having that player who can, you know, take the ball from deep and carry it right up the pitch the way Grealish does. But having two players who can do that, because I think it makes it so much more difficult for the opposition. You know, if you kind of think of all the best sides that they tend to be in terms of the attack, it's multifaceted. Now, if you think of Liverpool, they've got Trent Alexander-Arnold on the right, but then if you're shutting the right side off, they'll big switch over to the left. Robertson, he's got threat. Mane, Salah. If you think of, I'll use Everton as a good example. Actually, Everton is a better example. Mm-hmm. So they've got a really good left back in the form of Lucas Digne, who's been, you know, fantastic really since he come in. Really good in the attack, but too many times last season, Everton were kind of reliant on building down that left. And I think the kind of opposition analysis in the Premier League would find ways to nullify that. And that would sometimes leave them a little bit restricted in the attack. Whereas this year, they brought James Rodriguez. He's on the opposite side. And now you've basically got a two-pronged attack, which can go either way. And that's kind of, to a lesser extent, how I'm envisioning seeing this for Villa, where you've got almost two Grealish type profiles now, and it's just going to be a little bit more difficult for opponents to kind of compete against.
I think when you run the quick eye test over Ross Barkley, you know, if you go from highlights from when he kicked off to even the Chelsea days, what you see is a player who carries the ball, a player who makes sometimes the right quick decisions, a player who holds off a lot of challenges and can kind of just control a bit of possession and kind of change that tempo when they're getting harried on the press. So I think to go into that, what are Ross Barkley's strengths?
I think you've just listed a lot of them there, to be honest. I think he's a good ball carrier, really good dribbler. I think he has potential to really legitimately contribute in the attacking third. Now, I reeled off some basic numbers earlier about his goals and assists. I wonder if I kept... No, I didn't. I had his Wyscout page up early because I was quite impressed with just his general kind of, you know, shot-creating actions and that kind of thing. So I think he's, in short, he's a player who'll add a lot going forward. He'll add stuff in the attacking third, but he'll also contribute defensively. I think that's why there's a big focus on talking about him being a box-to-box midfielder, like that number 8. You know, I got the impression from his interview with Aston Villa, once he signed, that Dean Smith has basically said to him, you know, we're going to use you as a box-to-box number 8. And I think that will be a good role for him, because we've just touched on his physicality. I think that aids him in the defensive aspects of the game as well. And the way Villa are, where it's, you know, every game's a tough game, you need players who not only contribute going forward and in the attack, but those same players also need to contribute in the defence. So, yeah, I think to summarise, you've got a player who's good on the ball. He's fairly good passer of the ball as well. He'll contribute in the attack and third, but he'll also get his hands a little bit dirty and, you know, do some of the defensive work.
I think the flip side then, I think Villa fans don't want to hear it, but there has to be some negatives. There has to be, not negatives, but some weaknesses to Ross Barkley. There's weaknesses with Grealish, McGinn, Harahan, Douglas Luiz, whoever Ross Barkley could play with or throughout his career. So same has to apply to him, right? There are some weaknesses that we have to kind of touch on.
Everyone has weaknesses. You know, it's best to be objective on the analysis and just be honest. And yeah, I think the biggest for me with Barkley is his decision-making. I think he's inclined too often to maybe dawdle on the ball or make the wrong pass decision, or you know, he could carry the ball 20 yards, really good run, and then he'll have two fairly good passing options, and he'll just overthink the moments and end up getting dispossessed by the closest defender. He has that in him, and that's always been a problem that he hasn't seemed to be able to shake. And I think even if you've watched much of Chelsea, much of England as well, that's something that tends to be a recurring theme with Barkley. And I'm hoping maybe now at Villa, playing week in, week out, he'll start fine-tuning that. And because if he does, I think he can go that next level. But that's definitely the biggest issue I have with Barkley. I think his decision-making is just not always what it needs to be.
So I think that brings us on to something that I've heard a lot with Ross Barkley, and that neutrals or people with that maybe biased agenda, people who support a rival club for Barkley's career, whether it's Chelsea or Everton, may paint a picture of like a greedy player who's making the wrong decisions. But maybe it is a case of overthought. When he's instinctive, he hasn't got time, so he's just making those quick decisions and he's nailing it every time. When he's dribbled across a pitch and then suddenly he has to stop and like think about something, maybe he feels more inclined to take someone on himself and fail or make the wrong decision. Then maybe it's a case of cutting out and force him into quick thinking situations and giving him far too much of the ball and thus far too much time.
Yeah, that's it. You know, one thing I wouldn't throw at him is I wouldn't say he's greedy. Yeah. So, you know, those people saying that, I disagree. I think it is, as you just said, it is decision-making. You know, he is a good player instinctively. I can think of numerous assists that he had at Goodison Park. I remember one goal, this is when his tail was really up as a player, and he kind of, Everton, you know, I think they beat Bournemouth 5-2 or something, bit of a crazy game, but if anyone watching this or listening can go and find the goal, it's quite a funny one to see. But he rounds a keeper and then he starts celebrating before he put it in.
Yeah,
the back
I
of the
remember
net.
That actually.
Yeah. And it was just a sign of the kind of player he was at the time and the confidence he had. But going back to my original point, sorry, I wouldn't say he was greedy. It is just that decision making, and he's still only 26, so he's arguably just coming into his prime years. So if he can, as I said, if he can fine tune that, there's not many weaknesses he has. He's got a great shot. He's good two-footed. He has almost, you know, a perfect profile. It's just he just needs to be a little bit smarter, bit better of a football IQ, and you know, as I said, he can go that next level.
So I think the platform for that next level has to be Aston Villa, right? It's a loan deal. He's got a spot in the squad already, it seems like. So it seems like he's going to get those minutes he needs to kick on, fine-tune some of the aspects of his play. Where I see him fitting in, as he's mentioned, is a box-to-box. But I feel like there's two ways that could work for Villa. It could be like last season when they started, when they've got Grealish and McGinn kind of doing similar roles in midfield. Or it could be like it is now, where McGinn's essentially so far up the pitch, he's a striker, and Barkley's connecting him and Louise. Do you think it will change back to what it was, where McGinn and Barkley are somewhat equals in that role, or would it be him just replacing Harahan maybe, and McGinn's left up the pitch?
Yeah, that's actually a tough one to call. I wouldn't be too sure. In my opinion, I'd probably like to see Barkley coming from a little bit deeper, and you know, bringing the ball up to the attack. I think kind of fluctuating between those two positions, you know, centre of the pitch and the attack, is what he's good at. And I probably call him like a water carrier, I guess. You know, he's someone who kind of can collect the ball and connect to the players further up the field. That's how I see Barkley, you know, water carrier, baton carrier, whatever you want to call it. I think that's what he's suited for. So out of those two options, I think that's probably what he would bring more to the Villa side.
Villa aren't going to change from a midfield three, I don't think, anytime soon, because they've been right under the fire and haven't done it. They've already kind of kept to that same structure. So I think Barkley would be left-sided midfielder, which would put him directly into the path of Jack Grealish in playing situations, which for me as a Villa fan seems very, after all you've mentioned, seems very exciting, that combination with Grealish. Do you think they would work well together? I mean, they seem like friends from what we've seen, so maybe some chemistry already.
Yeah, no, definitely. As I said, he's... I mean, they do seem like really good mates, which is good to see, because I think the players who like each other always seem to play a little bit better. You know, it's something that you pick up when you're watching. These two clearly get on. I like him on the left because, as I said, he is two-footed, so he can use his left efficiently. So if you're talking about getting, you know, passes out to Grealish, that'll work. But what I really like about being on that side is his tendency to, you know, kind of cut in and onto his favoured right foot, where he can unleash shots himself towards goal. I think that's something to keep an eye on this year. I wouldn't be surprised to see him score one or two from outside the box, cutting in onto his right foot. It's what he's good at, so that position is perfect.
Yeah, it's just sound like he makes Villa a lot more dangerous, and now it's kind of the time to kind of put you on the spot. I don't want you to say Villa are going to finish sixth or fourth or get relegated, but I want to kind of hyper focus on Ross Barkley. What would you predict from his season with Villa?
I do expect him to have a good season, actually. I think it's just a really good place for him to be. I think I can't see him having one or two bad games and being relegated to the bench, you know, which is really important for him because he probably does need that arm around the shoulder a little bit. I think Dean Smith will do that. If he can get the best out of him, then you're going to have a really good play on your hands. You know, I think he could contribute to Villa having a good season this season. Because, you know, I've looked a little bit into Villa, certainly post-lockdown. I think defensively they look so much better. All the underlying numbers say the same as well. You know, it hasn't been by a fluke. It's almost chalk and cheese compared to what we've seen before lockdown. So you'd like to think that's getting a little bit stronger defensively. Grealish was always a threat. But now you've got somebody else in there as well, able to do that. I like McGinn. I know McGinn was there, and he missed parts through injury, didn't he, last season? I'm aware of that. But then, you know, even the attack now, it felt to me like sometimes Villa, certainly recruitment last year, I think it was tough because they had to buy a lot of players, you know, because I know they had a lot of loans in the last season in the Championship. So I know they had to recruit a lot. But it does feel like this year they're buying a bit more proven talent. You know, I think Barkley, although it's going to be a big campaign for him, he's proven. I think Watkins has already shown that he can score plenty of goals. If you kind of think of the likes of Samata and things, there was always question marks about how they'd succeed.
Yeah.
Even Wesley, I know he suffered with a really bad injury, but there was still a little bit of question marks over there. But I think they bought really well. And yeah, I think Barkley's going to certainly has the potential to be a huge player for them. In terms of having a good campaign.
Perfect. Thank you very much, David. I guess one thing we need to leave you with is we need some contact details from you. Where can people find you if they want to bug you about Ross Barkley for the rest of the season?
So firstly, before they go, I want to acknowledge the mess in the background. I was telling James before we started recording, I am not a big scruff. I'm moving out, so we're basically packing all our stuff up. Although, I'm not sure about that fake Chanel bag. I think that can go in the bin. I don't know where that's come from.
Oh, don't worry, mate. I mean, people always tell me about my blind. Do I know how to open it? Like, there's a good reason why it's closed. It's, you know, exposure. We know this. But it doesn't stop people reaching out saying, do you need help? Are you blind? No, mate.
Oh, it's funny, isn't it? So in terms of probably, you know, if people want to follow any of my stuff or, you know, chat to me about Barkley, yeah, if you got Twitter's probably best. It's at @DA_Hughes_. You know, I do write stuff about Villa as well, occasionally. So there'll be pieces there if people want to check them out. But yeah, that's it. Twitter at @DA_Hughes_. It's David Alexander Hughes. I'm not precious over the middle name. Somebody in the company has got David Hughes first, so I've had to put my middle name in, and I received plenty of stick for that. Trust me.
Yeah, speaking of writing, actually, we do have a Ross Barkley profile on the website from Josh, who of course, is the dual threat, the joint scouting writers in the company.
I was wondering why he was messaging me last night asking me to profile and follow him. That must have been why. I should have had a joint byline on that one, I think. But yeah, it's
which one of you McGinn and which one's Grealish?
I'll go Grealish all day. He's got the same size as McGinn, so you can be the smaller one.
Fair play. Well, thank you very much for coming on, David. Appreciate it. I'm sure it Villa fans have got a better insight into what exactly Ross Barkley is going to bring to the club.
Yeah, hopefully. Enjoy him.
Thank you for listening to AVFC Extra, an additional dose of Aston Villa content for you, brought to you by the Claret and Blue podcast team. If you enjoyed the episode, please do get in touch with us, get involved in the comment sections, tweet us at Claret Blue Pod, or leave us a review on iTunes. We really do appreciate it. We'll catch you again very soon with some more content. Until then, up the Villa.